The Trump administration has formalized plans to raise tariffs on China.
And what's going to be different about these tariffs that could hit on Friday is that they're going to fall really heavily for the first time on consumer goods. You're going to be looking at 25% tariffs on nearly $50 billion worth of consumer goods.
Plus, the fight over the Mueller report intensifies, and Uber prepares for its public debut. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to our top story on trade tensions between the U.S. and China, here are some other stories we're following. The battle over the Mueller report is likely to end up in federal court after the House Judiciary Committee voted 24-16 in favor of holding Attorney General William Barr in contempt for failing to release the full version. Wednesday's vote came hours after President Trump asserted executive privilege on all the material in the report. The contempt resolution still needs to be approved by the full House, but has the support of Democratic leadership. For the latest developments on the fight over the Mueller report, please head to our website, WSJ.com, or the WSJ app. President Trump tweeted on Wednesday in response to a report from the New York Times this week that showed he claimed losses of $1.17 billion from 1985 to 1994 and paid no income taxes in 8 of the 10 years. Trump tweeted, quote, "You always wanted to show losses for tax purposes. Almost all real estate developers did, and often renegotiate with banks. It was sport." The Times reported that Trump claimed more losses than any other individual taxpayer in the U.S. over that period. Trump has refused to release his tax returns, citing an audit. Uber is expected to price its initial public offering at the midpoint of its target range, between $44 and $50 a share, or about $80 to $90 billion, according to The Wall Street Journal. The company is pitching investors ahead of setting the price of its shares on Thursday. The ride-hailing giant makes its public debut Friday. Shares of rival Lyft, which debuted in March, have fallen more than 20% from their peak, adding caution to what's expected to be a big year for tech IPOs. The Trump administration has formalized plans to raise tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports on Friday. The Office of U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer filed paperwork on Wednesday, a day ahead of a planned visit by China's top trade envoy to resume trade talks in Washington. Joining me now from Washington with the latest details is The Wall Street Journal's Josh Zumbrun. Josh, this seems like a move to raise the stakes and the pressure ahead of Thursday's meeting between the U.S. and China. What does this filing do exactly?
Well, over the weekend, President Trump had threatened to do this and said that the U.S. was going to move forward with raising these tariffs. And what's emerged since then is that the U.S. decided to take some tougher action because they feel that China has backslid on some of the commitments that it had made earlier in the talks. That at one point it had said it was willing to do, you know, make bigger commitments in the U.S. view, and that at some point it walked away from those. At this point, we don't know exactly what it was that China promised and then decided not to move forward with. But at any rate, the U.S. said they were going to do this, and the step today shows that they really are. I mean, this is the paperwork that the government has to file for the tariff increase to actually go into effect. The tariffs will take effect, the higher tariff rate will take effect on Friday now because they've got this paperwork in motion.
Now, at the same time, the pressure to resolve this dispute is also on the U.S. as well. We saw trade tensions roiling U.S. markets on Tuesday.
That's right. I mean, one of the reasons it seems like the U.S. was willing to kind of take a gamble on this move was that markets had recovered from where they were in December. If you remember back in December, the market was down almost 20%. And that happens to be the month that these trade talks got underway with China. And it started looking like we were moving towards a more peaceful outcome. And the market mostly or entirely recovered from that where it was in December. And if it starts to go back down like that, I think maybe it will really start to put pressure on the U.S. But I would just, you know, right now, we were down yesterday in the market, but the market's still at a very high level. I mean, so right now, they're probably not feeling a huge amount of pressure, but they're going to be watching that market reaction very closely.
And Josh, you and our other reporters have been keeping us up to date on the talks. What are the major hurdles that remain to finally striking a deal?
Well, I think The biggest one is that the two sides have put a huge amount of tariffs on each other. I mean, even before this action, the U.S. had applied tariffs to $250 billion of Chinese imports each year. China has retaliated of a similar magnitude. China's retaliation has been really hard on the U.S. agriculture sector. And so they need to find an agreement that will allow these tariffs to come off over time. And they also need to structure the deal so that there's enforcement in the future. You know, they need to structure this deal in such a way that China and the U.S. have some mechanism that requires them to actually follow up on their commitments. I mean, what sometimes happens in these deals is a country says, oh, you know, we're gonna change our regulations in the future to make things easier, and then they don't really change the regulations very well. So it's very tricky, and this has been the key stumbling block, really, to write a deal that is enforceable, that if the countries go back on their commitments, you have a way to kind of force them to come along. And so those seem to be kind of the big sticking points that we still don't know how they're going to be resolved. And that's just assuming that the deal still happens. I mean, there's also a chance that this latest move will cause the deal to just kind of completely fall apart.
We also have been reporting on the Wall Street Journal on how this would impact consumers. What can you tell us about that?
Well, this is going to be different than any of the rounds of tariffs we've seen over the past year. I mean, the first big tariffs they did were on steel and aluminum, which is not stuff that people buy directly. You know, ordinary people don't go out there and buy a ton of aluminum, obviously. And when they first did tariffs on China, they also avoided consumer goods. They almost entirely did kind of stuff that businesses purchase, intermediate goods or capital goods, they call it. So, you know, you're talking about things like machinery for factories. You're talking about chemicals and plastics and raw materials and circuit boards and things that go in, but stuff that people don't buy directly. And what's going to be different about these tariffs that could hit on Friday is that they're going to fall really heavily for the first time on consumer goods. You're going to be looking at 25% tariffs on nearly $50 billion worth of consumer goods. And so it's almost certainly going to be the case that consumers are going to see prices go up at their retail, at their local, you know, Walmart, I think, is the biggest importer of anyone in the United States. And so you're going to see prices at those kinds of places start to go up potentially very significantly because those goods are facing a new tax. You know, tariffs are taxes. And so these goods are really going to, some people are really going to start noticing prices going up now, I think.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Josh Zumbrun joining us from Washington, D.C. with the latest on trade tensions between the U.S. and China. Josh, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Now onto some more headlines from the Wall Street Journal. General Electric shareholders have approved the company's executive compensation plans and rejected a proposal to appoint an independent chairman. But the results weren't without protest. GE said about 30% of the votes were cast against the executive pay plans, and 27% voted to separate the roles of chairman and chief executive officer. The votes came at GE's annual shareholder meeting, where CEO Larry Culp faced shareholders for the first time. And finally, an accountant who analyzed Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders' taxes found four mistakes in his oldest handwritten tax returns from 2009. The analysis found Sanders underpaid by $4,479 because of the mistake. The Wall Street Journal's Richard Rubin says the analysis shows the perils of do-it-yourself tax preparation.
Technology exists for a reason, and there have been many things that have come out of modern technology that are bad, but software that double checks things for you while you're doing your taxes is actually one of the better things that has come out of to happen to tax preparation. People aren't really sitting at their kitchen tables. They're sitting at their office desks and they're typing instead of handwriting. And this is a lesson. And I think it's a lesson clearly that we've seen Senator Sanders and his wife learn, because if you look at the following year in 2010, they have a paid preparer who is clearly using software.
Sanders' campaign says, quote, any minor inadvertent errors made were identified soon after filing the original tax returns and promptly addressed. How about you? Have you had any problems filing your own tax returns? Let us know by tweeting us at WSJ Podcasts or emailing us at whatsnews, all one word, at WSJ.com. And that's What's News for this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.